You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Exodus chapter 35. But while we're looking at that, we are in these construction projects. Thank you for helping. I'm probably doing it wrong. It's not your fault. But tomorrow morning, the first shift comes in at 5 a.m. here in the auditorium, the hallways and lobbies and whatnot. And we have a lot of painting going on and repairs and changing things around. We have some contractors coming in early. We have a 5 o'clock crew coming in. If you want to come at 5, you want to work, that'd be great. We have a 6 o'clock crew coming in. I think that's when most of the staff men will come. And we have a 7 o'clock crew and an 8 o'clock crew. So whatever you want to come in, and we could put you to work in this building, in the other building, the properties. There's so much to be done. Second semester begins, move in on the 21st of the month. And huge construction projects and remodels and repairs. And so I hope that you'll consider, if you can come after work and give an hour or two, that'd be great. I promise you, we'll keep you busy. I'll stay up with my work this week, but predominantly I'll be in work clothes all week, so be patient with me if you're trying to call me. If you call me on my phone, I'll call you back. It's normally called a pocket dial. I call more people all the time. And somehow, I don't know how that happens, but it happens. I heard someone yelling at me the other day, and I looked at that thing, and sure enough, I was calling somebody. And so I hope that they weren't mad, but I just hope that you'll be patient with me. Our Father, we thank you so much for this joy of being in this place tonight. I thank you for the great people, this church. I thank you for what they accomplished this day and how that they labored in the midst of the rain. And I know rain is not like snow and sleet and hail, but it's different for us here. And I thank you that there's been such a desire to serve thee. Now bless the preaching of the word of God. Lord, our people have been so busy today. I pray that I'd not be long-winded tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I can undo this one right here and get that out of my way. Lord impressed upon my heart many years ago now, and if you can go back to the many Bibles I've used, you'll see that I've taken a red marker most of the time, a red ink pen, and I've circled all 886 times in the Bible it says heart. You read about the heart tonight in verse number 5. The Bible says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart. Hold that if you will. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. And I want you to see it. Because tonight, everything in life in 2019 must be done with heart. We're a little quiet today with the amens. I know it's a new year, but we'll say amen this year. After all that good music and choir, and I hope that we'll participate tonight. But everything has to be done with heart. If you have a job, don't figure out how you can change the boss. Don't figure out how you can be, I'm not happy here. Well, then drop the life insurance and the health insurance and the benefits you have and drop it all. Say, I'll just work for free. Well, I'm not that unhappy. Come on, put your heart in that job. Don't be trying to get out of work. Try to say, I want more. If you've been in any company, you're doing one thing. And a year later or 2 years later, you're still doing that one thing. You're not valuable. I promise you, you're not valuable. You ought to be adding to your work schedule. You ought to be growing to say, I can take on more. Years ago, a pastor of a large, one of the largest churches, the largest church in America, said to me, Brother Treiber, if I should die, and he did die, and if our church, and he probably said that to 10,000 people,
Our church should call you to be their pastor. What I'm fearful of is nobody can pastor this church. And they said, if I was coming in, I don't see that I could pastor it, speaking of himself. He said, it grew up around me. And because it grew up around me, I know what I'm supposed to do and how to keep everything moving at the same time. He wasn't being arrogant. I would have never thought that I could have taken on the responsibilities that I have today in my life 43 years ago when I came here. And it's not that, please don't think the poor guy. He said, no, don't ever think that. Maybe if you drop the radio. I love the radio. I love the broadcast. I love the live broadcast. I love the 15. If you drop elementary chapel, that's part of who I am. I love the high school chapel. I love the college chapel. I love the class to the preaching boys I teach, and now to the home class I teach in the schools. I love our Sunday school class. I love working around here on maintenance days. I don't feel sorry for me. I don't mean this rude to anybody. I could be in a rest home just hanging on for life. I'm loving this thing. I'm having the time of my life. I don't know how you are with marriage, but I love being married more today. My dad said that. When I got married, he said, son, your mother and I have been married 25 years. Well, they eventually got in over 66 years together. But he said, I love your mother more today after 25 years than I did when I first got married. I thought, you have no idea what you're talking about. I am so in love with this girl. We're getting married, and you're old. You've been married 25 years. Dad, you're really old, I thought. But he wasn't old. He was a young whippersnapper. Look what it says over here in the book of Matthew, and I'd like you to read it with me tonight. In chapter number 22 and verse number 35 through 40, let's read it together. Matthew 35 through 40. When it says, then one of them, Matthew 22, 35 through 40. Ready? Begin. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul
and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.
And the second is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the key is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Heart is all feeling and all emotion. No one talked to you, and I don't think so, to come to church tonight or this morning. And I know maybe sometimes the pastor preaches a bad message and he didn't have it today. I know that all probably happens for you. But I do know this. Isn't there a desire to go to church? Isn't there a desire to go to Sunday school, Sunday morning? I love the Lord. The Bible says with all my heart, I want heart in my family this year. I want heart in my marriage this year. I want heart in my job, my ministry. I want heart in our Sunday school class this year. I want heart. Don't you want heart on your bus route? Yes. And your Sunday school class you teach and your usher station. This is my area. Put your heart in it. Exodus 35, where you began with me, it's an interesting thing. 35 to the end of the book, 40, chapter 35 to 40, it's now all about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was that portable building divided in two areas, the holy place and the holy of holies. And it had a fence around the tabernacle. And it had three tribes of Israel on the north and three tribes on the south, and three tribes on the east, and three tribes on the west. And because they were in the wilderness, that tabernacle moved around. And when the tabernacle began to move, the north, the south, the east, and the west, all the tribes began to move. It was the center of their life. The church, as we see, we have the tabernacle, then we have the temple, and then we have the New Testament local church, and all three, the church, tabernacle, the temple, their lives were surrounded around the things of God. In the tabernacle was the mercy seat, and was the Ark of the Covenant with the law in it. And God said, this is the place that will reflect, and this is the place that will affect your families, Israel. Stay close to the tabernacle. And that's what this chapter 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, and 40 is all about. The tabernacle was not a sideline. It was just not a religious event. They got up every day, the tens of thousands of Jews, and they looked at their tabernacle. And when God began to move them, they moved, and that was the center of their life. I want you to see, when we're talking about heart in these chapters tonight, in these last moments of the day, serving the Lord at the tabernacle, serving the Lord at the tabernacle. Oh, I'm so grateful that God put in my heart, because of my parents and because of my father-in-law, a desire for the house of God. I was in here last night sitting on this pew, and it was dark in here. And I said, Lord, I just can't believe that you would have chosen someone like me to be the pastor of a people that built a building like this. I could have never envisioned a huge auditorium like this. But God used you, and together we built something for His glory. I love coming to this building. I love going to the academic building. I love going to the commons building. I love going out to the bus garage to see those mechanics. I love working in this property. I love going to Clyde Avenue. There's something special when we go there on Tuesday night for soul winning. We go over there for Saturday morning bus meeting. I love that old 66,000 square foot of building. That's a huge building on that property. I love these properties that God has entrusted to our care. I love the fact yesterday, it was raining, and out passing out flyers and tracts and saying, the new year is here, start Sunday school with us. I saw a guy, I was in an apartment complex, and he was walking through, and I said, hey, I know you're in a hurry, it was raining. I said, let me give you this, and I start walking with him, and we start talking, but he didn't talk, I did all the talking. And I got to an apartment around the corner. Little did I know, he was looking to move into an apartment, he was going to an appointment to look at it. I knocked on that door, and the owner was there, and I got to see him again. I think God's probably speaking that old boy's heart to get to church. We're talking about heart tonight. Heart and the church. Heart and the things that you do at church and I do at church. I want you to see, in closing, don't put your shoes on yet, ladies, but in closing, this year at the serving at the tabernacle, let's serve with a willing heart. I want to do this. I see that army of ushers that come up there and down. I think on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, I get the feeling that they want to do that. I do. I watch them. I think they want to dress the way they dress. I think they want to work in their area. I think they want to pass things out. It's just so amazing, a willingness. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 35, verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering to the Lord, whosoever is of a what? A willing heart. I want to do this. How about verse number 21? The Bible says, and they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit was made willing. There's a willing heart again. How about verse number 22? And they came both men and women, and many were willing hearted. They brought their bracelets and their earrings and their rings and their tablets and their jewels of gold. And every man offered offering of gold unto the Lord. How about verse number 29? And the children of Israel brought a willing offering, unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing. I want to do this. It's amazing, Brother Van Dyke, when you get over to David in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 29, that he was wanting to build the temple, not the tabernacle, the temple. God says, you cannot build it, but I've chosen your son Solomon. It's okay, I can't do it. You're not going to allow me to do it. But I'm going to give of my own proper silver and gold, and I'm going to give the plans and the pattern to my son how to build it, and I'm in this. And if you'll notice in those two chapters, 1 Chronicles 28 and 1 Chronicles 29, it constantly says, if you folks want to participate, do it with a willing heart. If you want to work, bring a willing heart. If you want to give, bring a willing heart. I want to do this. I want to do this. That lady in Proverbs 31, she worked, Proverbs 31, verse 13, with a willing hands. She was, I want to do this. I'm a virtuous woman, she was saying. I want to do this. Don't you want to be a good teenager? Don't you want to go door knocking teens? Don't you want to help on a bus? Don't you want to work on the cleaning of the buildings around here? Hey, young single adults, don't you want to do something? Hey, all the way up to whatever, whoever you are, don't we want to do something? Well, this year, it all revolves around the heart to serve them with a willing heart. I want to say secondly, we're going to serve God with a wise heart. Look what he says here. Go back to chapter 35 where you are. Verse 5, we saw a willing heart. Verse 10, and every wise-hearted among you shall come. God says, I want you to have a wise heart. What is wisdom? It's discernment. I know how to do that. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to get someone else's wisdom and borrow their wisdom so I do this thing right. That's why the Lord has given us a Brother Andrew Ramers. And you say, well, he's young. I know he's young. But he prays and he studies and he's learning in an amazing way how to be a most amazing Sunday school director. You know, wise people follow a man like this as they follow the young Joshua, as they follow the new leader, Elisha. We don't debate this young man. He's got enough with the world, the flesh, the devil. He's got enough on his plate. Hey, this young fellow over here, who's our bus director of the B division, and he's the director also of the publications and knows what he's doing. This man right here needs our support. I'll drive a bus to help you, son. I love you, Brother Luke. You were born in this church. You've been here your whole life. I'm helping you. He's a husband, a father now. Son, I'll help you. I'll help you. Hey, this boy right over here, whose wife sang a few times today, I want to say, brother, I'll help you, Brother Russ, great youth pastor, I'll help you. And helping means we figure out the way the leadership wants to do it, and we lift their arms, and it's not a debate. That's a wise heart. Turn with me right there to the next chapter, in chapter 35, verse 21, same chapter, verse 21. The Bible said, whose spirit was made willing. Verse 22, a willing heart, yes, but a wise heart. Look what he says in verse number 29, a willing heart, yes. But now how about verse 10 of chapter 35, the wise heart. How about verse 25, and all the women that were wise hearted. And how about verse number 35? Then if they're filled with wisdom of heart to work of the work. This chapter and these five chapters, all you underline, I've underlined, all work, 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 work. And he says, I want you to have a willing heart, but I want you to have a wise heart. Chapter 36, then brought Behaziel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man whom the Lord put wisdom, understand how to work. All manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. It's all about the house of God. And Moses called Behaziel Aholiab and every wise-hearted man whom he put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up and come to the work. He talks about the work and the service in verse 3 and the wise in the work and the work in verse 4 and the work in verse 5 and the work in verse 6 and the work in verse 7 and verse 8 and every wise-hearted. Have a willing heart this year. Choose me. Choose me. Choose me. I want to be on that. I want to be on that team. I want to do that. Choose me. A willing heart. And then I want to have a wise heart. I want to do it that is right. So I'm willing to listen to authority and respect authority and obey authority. I'm a little bit cautious saying this because I'm online. And I want to say to our listeners, I'm pastoring the greatest real humble people in the world. And it's going to sound like a rebuke to you, but if this is as hard as it gets, listeners, I want to say no one is like this church. You know what we've done during the Christmas break, and sometimes we do it in the summer as well, or even the rest of the year, remainder of the year for that matter. On a Wednesday night, we begin services by roping off the back five rows in all five sections. Now, eventually at night, they fill up. But people come from the trolleys and from the trains and from the airports and they Uber in here from business, whatever else they do, Lyft, whatever. And people are coming in. I believe you ought to be on time Sunday morning, Sunday night, but Wednesday night at 6:30 in traffic, Silicon Valley, for some of our folks, it's nigh unto impossible. And they get here and they see their wife or they see their husband for the very first time and they just meet here and they see the kids and we get in here. So we rope them off. Eventually, Brother Sam will take the ropes down. But you know what I saw the other night? It bothered me. And I see it quite often. All five areas of all five rows had the ropes up and people filled all five areas. We just went like this. You say, well, I sat there. I can only think of one young man I saw sitting there. I deliberately didn't look. So if you were in that section, you're still on the good list. Because Christmas is coming, and we don't want you to have coal in your stocking. You know, if the ushers rope it off, I guess it's roped off. Once in a while, Brother Russ will, on a Wednesday, have a teen service. And I don't know if we'll do that this year, but once in a while, it happens. And when that happens, all this section here is normally empty because the youth are in another building. And I'll say, and invariably, people always obey. I'll say, leave your songbook there. And as we're singing that next stanza, could some of you come fill in? I think of a family that was sitting probably seven rows back, and they just came up three rows to the third. I thought, boy, that is obedience. And you know, when the pulpit, I'm not dictatorial. But when God's man says, can we all do this? Your kids ought to see you doing it. And if it's roped off, don't jump over it. There's got to be a wise heart. There has to be a willing heart. And I have more, but I think I'll close down with this third one here. Ladies, start to get the shoes on. You're going to laugh at me. I'm ready to get finished because I'm sweating. And I'm sweating because I have four socks on tonight. Two pairs of socks. My toes were getting so cold, I said, I'm bringing two pairs on tonight. My feet are so smashed into these shoes tonight, and I'm so hot tonight. So ladies, you can start to begin to put your shoes on because we're going to close her down. I found tonight a willing heart, and please, 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 oh, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will convey to you, I see such a willing heart in this church and ministry, such a willing and such a wise heart. But I want you to see the third
heart. It's a working heart. Chapter 35, verse 21. We see all the works, but it's associated with the work of a heart, verse 21. And I see it in verse 24 and verse 29 and verse 32. And I find it in verse number 35 and then 36, what we read already, verse 1, how to work the service. Behaziel, and they talked about being a wise heart, but look at verse 2. And Moses called Behaziel Aholiab, every wise-hearted man whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to the work. You see all three hearts there that I just spoke to you about. You see that God gives us a willing heart and a wise heart and a working heart. It's stirred up. Work is found 80 times in the book of Exodus. These people were to work. They were involved in work. When you read the book of Numbers, you're going to find the key word is service. You'll find that word service all throughout the book. Service, service, service. Do service to God. When you read Deuteronomy, and it fails me right now, I think it's 80 sometimes, you'll find two little letters, D-O, do. Do this, do this, do this, do this. All these first five books that you're reading in your Bible reading, it's about activity and service for God. And I want to challenge our church. Of course, there's another heart in chapter 35, verse 26, the woman's heart. We won't get there. But you know, and my wife, I think we could probably talk. You know how it used to be around here in America? If you got back in the 50s and 60s, maybe even the 70s, you got the man of the house, you had the family. But then it changed. In the 90s, 2000, you had to get the youth. If you got the youth, you got the dad, you got the mom. But it's not that way. Everything revolves around mama. And if you want to try to get a family, you're going to have to get mama on board. I don't think it's Bible. But ladies, don't drop the ball. You're going to have a willing heart and a wise heart and a working heart. Pastor, I'm talking to you, son. The pastor of this church, you need to have a willing heart. I'll do that. And a wise heart and a working heart. It's a good night. When do we get to rest? Well, Hebrews says when we get to heaven, there'll be rest. As I look at this last year of this decade, now two decades of the 2000s is going to be history in another 300 some days. I will look back and say, by the grace of God, I gave my best. By and by, when I look on his face, I don't want to wish I'd give him more. I want to say, I ran the best. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Here it is, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus unto good works. God worked in us. And now as Paul says in Philippians, work out your own salvation. What God worked in, let's work it out. I cannot tell you when we have work days with the pastoral staff regular around here. We had a big one this last week, and now we'll all this week. I love it. I just enjoy it. I'm enjoying this journey called life, and I know you are more than ever. To put your hand to the plow, and granted, I'm on a payroll and all that. You're not. I have it easier than you have it. I know that. I like taking a vacuum, and I take one every week. I vacuumed yesterday around here. I want a vacuum.
I want to clean something. I want to work with the dumpster. I had a backpack on it. I want to blow leaves. I'm looking at some trees over there, and I'm trying to figure out how can I get up in those trees because I've got to trim a lot of those branches. I want to do that. I want to knock on doors. I do. I want my checkbook to write a check more to the church. These are such great days. I believe he's coming again. Let's stand together, shall we? It's 7:30. I want it to be, our heads are bowed. I want it to be on our way by 7:30. But I don't want to leave without an invitation. Our heads are bowed. Some of you young boys are here in college. Don't you want to serve God? Isn't there something burning? It's deeper than a video game. Don't you want to build something? And don't you want to be called to be a bus director and lead the way and be a Sunday school teacher and lead the way and be a worker and lead the way?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.